VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us today here on this anniversary of 9/11. Many of us today will never forget 9/11/2001, when Islamic terrorists commandeered passenger jetliners, American Airlines Flight 11, United Airlines Flight 175, crashing them with menacing terror and purpose into the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center in New York City. Yet another plane, American Airlines Flight 77, was flown into the Pentagon. Yet another plane, United Airlines Flight 93, which at the time we didn't know, is this headed for the White House? Is it heading to the Capitol or some other location? But we saw courageous passengers with the words, "Let's roll," overcome the Islamic hijackers and took the airliner into a field in Pennsylvania. A total of 2,977 people were killed in New York City, Washington, D.C., and outside of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But this loss impacted millions. We so often hear the phrase and heard the phrase during the time, "Never forget 9/11." But my question is, have we forgotten 9/11? Have we forgotten the reasons why these planes were hijacked? Have we forgotten the frontline heroes that were killed, including the 343 New York City firefighters, the 23 New York City police officers, and 37 officers at the Port Authority? When once we declared these people as heroes, now just 19 short years later, we're vilifying law enforcement, blocking access, and threatening emergency workers from doing their jobs that we once hailed. Today, as we remember 9/11 19 years later, we welcome back to Crosstalk Shahram Haidian. Shahram is a former Muslim from Iran who came to the States in 1978 and committed his life to Jesus Christ. He started the TIL Project, that's the Truth and Love Project, which exposes the true goal of Islam and the threat of Sharia in America. He has served as a pastor, a police officer, and a former candidate for governor in Washington State. Shahram, thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk.
Jim, it's great to be on with you again. Always a blessing.
Shahram, in some of our minds, it's as if it just happened yesterday. I mean, we relive the events of 9/11/2001, but you're a former Muslim, and you certainly were here in this country as well when things unfolded. What goes through your mind on this anniversary?
Well, Jim, two things go through my mind. One is that we were attacked by an ideology that I was very familiar with because I witnessed it in my birth country. I witnessed it in Iran and how Iran fell into the hands of Islam. And so when I remember vividly that day on September 11th, 2001, and I vividly remember the fact that I remember thinking, this has followed us here. It has impacted my birth country. Here I have come to America for freedom. I think many former Muslims, and I've talked to many since, felt the same way, that here we've escaped other parts of the world to come to America for freedom, and here Islam has now come to America and has attacked America and has taken away our freedoms. Because, of course, we know everything changed on 9/11. The second thought I have is, my goodness, how we have forgotten. How we have forgotten not only those who have fallen, but again, an ideology and a political ideology and a system that is bent on destroying freedom and liberty and Christianity. How can we be at this place 19 years later? These are the thoughts that run through my head even now, and for all of these years and what we witnessed, I cannot believe that America has allowed itself to go to this place and not be able to even utter the words of Islam in relationship to 9/11.
Shahram Haidian, our guest today. And Shahram, you keep talking about this ideology, and I don't want us to forget. I don't want our listeners to forget 9/11/2001. And so that we don't forget, why did these hijackers do what they did?
Well, the facts that cannot be struck out of history is that these hijackers, and people would want to say, well, this was Al-Qaeda and had nothing to do with Islam. We've heard this rhetoric before. We heard it under the Obama administration. We're hearing still under the Trump administration that, you know, this is, has nothing to do with Islam. The ideology of Islam, the way that they view the West, number one, the way that they view America. America, in the eyes of many Muslims, is the little Satan. Of course, Israel is the great Satan, but it is that they view us as a Christian nation. And those who would say, well, this was about, you know, occupation of land, this was retaliation for the Palestinians, this was retaliation for other things. The bottom line is, when you go to the actual ideology and the source, you see that Islam views nations that are the enemy land as the lower house. This is the land that has to be conquered, that has to be brought down. And what a better symbolism for that than to attack some of the highest places in the nation, you know, these towers, mm-hmm. and to bring them down to the ground. So that ideology focuses on what is antithetical to it. And they view America. We may not, Jim, but they still view America as a Christian nation, and it must be brought down.
Mm. Sharam, it's not compatible with Islam, is it? I mean, what we stand for, our constitution, our form of government, it's not compatible with the true teachings of Islam, is it?
It is not, because the true teachings of Islam, and again, I've witnessed this firsthand in my own birth country, the true teachings of Islam teach that Islamic law or Sharia must become the highest law. It is the law of their God, Allah. So when you have a constitution that is based upon a Judeo-Christian foundation, when you have a constitution that teaches freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, this constitution is antithetical to a system that is called Sharia that must govern all areas of life under a religious system. That is also political. There is no separation of mosque and state in Islam. So absolutely, Jim, they are against a country that stands for liberty and freedom and individual choice and individual responsibility, and that's what they're antithetical. It's antithetical. The two cannot coexist, and yet here we are still within this lie that Islam does not pose a threat to our constitution and our way of life.
And yet such individuals will seek to use our constitutional freedoms and liberties as a means against us in order to take down this nation that they cannot stand.
Absolutely. This is what we continue to see even today. Unfortunately, even under the Trump administration, we continue to see those within the Islamic movement, particularly the Muslim Brotherhood, that have used the First Amendment to actually silence those who would criticize or who would warn about Islam. They're using our own freedoms against us by saying, oh, we can't criticize Islam because it's a religion, which we know, if anybody who truly knows Islam knows that it is not a religion, it is a political system that has a religious component used to be able to control people, because they would say that it is their teaching, that these teachings are coming from their God. See, throughout history, Jim, political ideologies have come and gone. But a political ideology that is cloaked in religion, like Islam, has withstood 1,400 years of time. And in America, there is no push now today. It has been forgotten that this ideology, this political ideology, again, cannot coexist, cannot go side by side with our constitution, our rule of law, our way of life. It is incompatible, but that's exactly what Islam teaches and what it has stood for 1,400 years. And those of us who've come out of it know exactly what it is. We continue to try to warn, even though nobody wants to, very few want to hear it, but we got to continue to warn of what we're facing.
Former Muslim Sharam Hadian with us now, leading the TIL project, the Truth and Love Project. Sharam, we not only has it been called a religion, but it's been called a religion of peace. I mean, we heard that from the lips of the president at that time, George W. Bush. We've heard it continuously throughout. You were Muslim. Could you address this issue? Is Islam a religion of peace?
Islam is absolutely not a religion of peace if the definition of peace is the fact that we believe that We will not force anybody to adhere to a religion. We will not force anybody to adhere to a particular, draconian laws or customs and traditions that they have within Islam. The word peace in Islam, the idea that Islam stands for peace, was the lie that, as you said, was pushed from Bill Clinton to George W. Bush to Barack Obama. And it is even today, again, unfortunately, under the Trump administration, not by per se Trump himself at times, but from those that are still within the deep state, they are pushing the same narrative. Mm-hmm. Islam can never be peaceful because it can never coexist. Unless your definition of peace is surrender. The word there, aslama, is the word we get the word Islam from. It's a word for surrendered one. It means one who is surrendered. So I tell people all the time, if you want to have peace with Islam, you must surrender to it. If you don't plan on surrendering to this ideology, then there is no peace with the ideology. I'm not talking about individual Muslims. We're talking about the ideology. And history has borne that out. History has borne that out time and time and time again. Islam never has been able to coexist. It is victorious or it is pushed back and defeated. There is no middle ground with Islam, and that's the battle. And the information battle, I should say, that we've lost in America and we'll continue to lose in America when we can't even say on 9/11, this was inspired by Islamic ideology, this was inspired by Islamic terrorists, this was an Islamic attack. And you can't even say that anymore.
And this is so troubling, Sharon, because since 9/11, I mean, we have then, and as we hear what you just said, but we've seen multiple Islamic advisors working in some of the highest levels of government through the years. Something doesn't sound right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, unfortunately, even in the current administration, we have seen there's a gentleman who is part of the Muslim Brotherhood. They started an Islamic political party called the USCMO back in 2015. This guy Jamal, he was seen in the White House just last year when Vice President Trump was hosting a meeting on faith and various faith initiatives. They are in the midst, even today, as we saw the headline today, that President Trump is announcing a deal between Bahrain and Israel, and we saw the deal that was struck between Israel and the UAE. The Brotherhood is advising the White House and our top officials on the language, because they will not come out and identify, again, Islam or Muslims as a problem to peace. They can't say this. They have to be able to push for this tri-faith initiative that I'd love to talk about more on the program, which is really what we've seen out of 9/11. Mm-hmm. Because what's come out of 9/11, instead of the separation and the identification of Islam being antithetical and not compatible with Western ideology, we've seen the push that we can all be one God, one religion, and all get along.
Oh, friends, Sharam Hadian is with us today, and as Sharam is saying, it's no longer politically correct to say this was Islamic terrorism that struck America. Remembering 9/11, how soon we forget. Ladies and gentlemen, back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how can some lizards walk and even hang upside down on very smooth surfaces?
Chris, this is an amazing feat. Consider the gecko, which can stick to almost any surface, even a polished pane of glass. It attaches itself by tiny hairs on its feet, which are so tiny they're packed at about 500 per square inch. Each hair exerts a tiny chemical force which is attracted to the glass surface, and together they support the weight of the lizard. By curling and uncurling the toes, the lizards can break this bond and move on and take another step. You know, often engineers notice an ability in animals and attempt to mimic it in engineering design. And that's what they're trying to do in this case. Maybe by modeling the gecko lizard, we can even have Spider-Man clinging to smooth surfaces. Such things are possible if you go back to Genesis for your starting point.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
Shahram Hadi and our guest here today on Crosstalk, remembering 9/11, 19 years later, friends we don't want to ever forget. And we said that was the mantra back then, never forget 9/11. But that also means never forgetting the ideology that brought this horrendous event here to the United States. Shahram Hadian is with us. Again, Shahram is a former Muslim. He came from Iran, came to the States in 1978, and it's in the States here that he placed his trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. He started the TIL Project, the Truth and Love Project. He exposes the true goal of Islam. He exposes the threat of Sharia. He has served as a pastor. He's been a police officer. He ran for governor in the state of Washington. And he has much. Shahram, your website is, give us the address if you would.
The website is TILproject.com, T-I-L, which stands for Truth in Love, then the word project.com.
And folks, you'll find much information there as well as Shahram speaking and his teaching and so forth. Shahram, instead of receiving greater scrutiny, we actually have seen a significant expansion of mosque building across the United States. Do we have any idea how many mosques there are? And then what is the purpose of a mosque? Is it just for worship or is there greater significance than that?
Well, the question about how many mosques is a great question because, you know, there are large ones, there are small ones, they're all funded differently. We see, for example, Turkey funding now many, many major mosques in America, not just the Saudis. For years, money was coming in from the Saudis, through the Muslim Brotherhood. We estimate that over 70%, I've heard numbers as high as 78% of the mosques in America are, owned and operated or connected directly to the Muslim Brotherhood. So, you know, it's a tough question to answer. I would say that some have said over 3,000. Hmm. I've seen numbers higher than that. Certainly, when you look at states like California, Texas, some of the places that have the most number of mosques, there are now some that are started, you know, in smaller communities. To answer the question, Jim, about the intent.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's best to go to the words of the largest Islamic group in America, which is the Muslim Brotherhood. And to their words, in their own documents, they said, the mosque is, quote, the epicenter of our movement. Well, what's their movement? Well, the movement is to sabotage America, is to overthrow America. By their own words, they say, this is our movement. This is our goal. So is every mosque a threat? No, probably not every mosque is a threat. There are Sunni mosques, there are Shiite mosques. There are mosques that are connected to Sufi Muslims who are these very, very small sect of Muslims. Ahmadiyya is another small sect of Muslims in America. We're talking less than 0.5% of Muslims globally. And these are the Muslims that claim to be the, quote, peaceful Muslims. But the majority, as I said, of the mosques are Muslim Brotherhood connected and operated. And they're Sunni mosques, the majority. And there are some Shiite mosques that are very troubling, directly tied to the Iranian government. But so their mission statement says, hey, our mosque is the epicenter. And in fact, many of them don't call them, they're not called mosques, they're called Islamic centers because they are for recruiting, they're for organizing,
wow,
they're for training. So then we know that there have been money has been funneled into these mosques. We know that there have been jihadists who've been trained out of these mosques in their ideology, particularly their anti-Semitism ideology. So the mosque is not, according to the Muslim Brotherhood, a benign religious entity that is protected under the First Amendment like a church would be. It is the epicenter. It is the heart of the effort of Islam to overthrow the West and overthrow America. As such, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, this is so amazing because we know, I mean, you call it, in their words, a mosque is an epicenter of our movement. We know that the anti-American sentiment, we know the ideology that drove them to take these planes, crash them into the Twin Towers, into the Pentagon, and another location that was destined for the flight that went down in Pennsylvania. But instead of receiving greater scrutiny, we are seeing these expansion, and we know for some time there were great efforts to establish one of this epicenters of their movement at Ground Zero.
Absolutely. The Ground Zero Mosque, which was the one of the most offensive efforts, I kept telling people back then, Jim, that this is a sign of conquering for them, because throughout Islamic history, when they would conquer another religion, another culture, they would always attack. And by the way, we saw this with ISIS. Remember with ISIS going and when they would go into areas in Iraq and in Syria, what would they do to churches? They would always destroy churches. They would always destroy synagogues. They would knock them down. They'd knock off the crosses from the top. So throughout Islamic history, they've always tried to establish, when they are able to destroy an area or a place that is of another religion or represents something in another culture, and then they on that spot they want to build a mosque. Well, on 9/11, after 9/11, when we are reeling, I mean, I kid you not, it was within months that, and maybe the listeners will remember a gentleman by the name of Faisal. I got to make sure I get his name right so I don't screw it up. But Imam Abdul Faisal Rauf, and he was Faisal Abdul Rauf was part of the Cordoba Initiative, and that this was an initiative where they wanted to build this tri-faith center, they called it, on Ground Zero. You know, a mosque, a synagogue, a church. It'll be a center; everyone can come. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what it's been, and it is of the utmost offense. And that tri-faith initiative has now led to what we see today, which is that many Christians support building mosques in America. You remember Russell Moore? Russell Moore of the SBC, the ERLC, when they actually joined in an amicus brief for a mosque trying to be built in America, and they joined in and said, we support their right to build a mosque, because if we don't protect them, they won't protect us when churches are going to be shut down. Hmm. Well, what have we seen during COVID? Right? Nobody is talking about mosques. Nobody is talking about mosques being shut down, and yet churches are being threatened, pastors are being threatened with arrest. And is the Muslim community coming to our aid? Are they coming to support us when our churches are being shut down and pastors being threatened with arrest? No. So this is exactly the playbook, is get us to help them. By our hands, they said, by our hands, that we would sabotage our own house, but then they will not support us. And very quick, David Beamer, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, Let's Roll.
Yes.
The line from Todd Beamer, who was on Flight 93. I met David Beamer, his dad, years ago in Jacksonville, Florida. And I asked David, I said, David, what do you think about the effort to build a mosque on Ground Zero? I kid you not, Jim, his face went like blood red. Blood, I thought smoke was going to come out of his ears. And he said, I can't even talk about it because it is the utmost insult. And the fact that our leaders are allowing it is an absolute travesty in this nation. How can we forget? And we're talking, this is 2 years after 9/11, let alone today, 19 years later, when we can't even mention the word Islamic terrorism. And we can't. And thanks to Obama-era policies that eradicated our national security apparatus, you can't even identify the mosques that are problematic in promoting the kind of jihad that motivated the 9/11 hijackers.
Shahram, we have so much to talk about. I'm going to take us another direction, another issue here right now, as we never forget. And I want to know what has happened in these 19 years to the police officers in New York City and beyond. I mean, at the time of 9/11, they were considered the heroes. They were considered the courageous ones. Today, they're despised. I saw this in an article today from frontpagemag.com, and they say this: the statue of a police officer was beheaded and toppled in Plymouth, Massachusetts at a 9/11 memorial honoring those who died in the attacks, but the 2,000-pound steel beam from the World Trade Center proved beyond the ability of the vandals to topple. When Black Lives Matter racists defaced statues and memorials in the Boston Common, including the Glory Regiment, they didn't spare the 9/11 memorial in the Public Garden. A 9/11 memorial honoring five fallen firefighters was defaced, and the American flagpole was cut down in Washingtonville, New York. There was also vandalism at the Decatur, Illinois Illinois Memorial Site in a red, white, and blue wearing rearing horse, 9/11 Memorial in Rochester, New York, smeared with red paint. Beyond the radical attacks on the monuments of September 11th were the attacks on its heroes. The NYPD has suffered its worst day since 9/11, with over 400 officers injured in the Black Lives Movement Matter riots. Police and firefighters went from the heroes of a nation to being smeared as soulless monsters. That's a quote from frontpagemag.com. Sharam, you were a police officer. Comment on what's taking place.
Well, so much that you shared there, Jim. And how do you encapsulate what's been happening other than to say that truly lawlessness is abounding in our nation when we have forgotten our foundation, when we have forgotten truth, when we have forsaken God? Lawlessness is abounding. And so when lawlessness abounds, is it any surprise that the symbol of the law, being law enforcement, federal, local, state, the symbol of the law is viewed with such disdain? What you just described is insurrection. What you just described should be viewed as terrorism. Those are the terrorists today when you have Antifa and Black Lives Matter. By the way, side note, Antifa, we have documented evidence that there were members of Antifa that went overseas and were training with ISIS. We now have evidence that the Palestinian Authority movement, they are working with leadership of Black Lives Matter. I mean, for goodness sake, Black Lives Matter leadership, by their own words, say we are trained in Marxist ideology.
Mm-hmm.
So this movement towards the police and the disdain for the police, it is the worst time in modern American history to be a police officer. You've seen in recent days the number of police chiefs resigning across the country. The Fraternal Order of Police came out in support of President Trump because they came out and said de Blasio in New York is the worst mayor in the history of New York. So there is a division happening between law and order and lawlessness, and there's a division happening politically. It is outrageous. I don't have words to describe my frustration and at times my anger for what is happening to law enforcement. I have still many friends who are in law enforcement, and their lives are so difficult, and they're under constant, not only scrutiny and policy threats, but they're literally under threat because these thugs, these rioters, these terrorists will actually find out where they live and show up at their houses. And so this is a terrible day for our nation. And folks have a choice to make in the coming elections, and they have a choice to make about what are they going to do to stand with the blue, to stand with law enforcement and be a society of law and order, or are we going to go down the road of lawlessness? And again, I'm going to say it, is this insurrection? I'm normally not in favor of federal troops doing things in cities, but in this case, I do believe that the feds need to step in because it is insurrection when they're defacing monuments and the violence and the riots is out of hand. It's got to be stopped. We have to stop this now before we head into civil war.
Sharam Hadian with us here today on Crosstalk. And again, a quote from that article, the NYPD has suffered its worst day since 9/11, with over 400 officers injured in the BLM riots. Police and firefighters went from heroes of a nation to being smeared as soulless monsters. Friends, Osama bin Laden's niece has issued a warning. We'll tell you about that warning after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk as we remember 9/11 19 years later. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, remembering 9/11, 19 years later. Friends, we cannot forget the ideology that caused that day to happen. Shahram Haidian is with us today. He is a former Muslim. He's from Iran. And praise the Lord, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. He has started the Truth and Love Project. You'll find more on his website, tilproject.com, tilproject.com. Shahram, recently, Osama bin Laden's niece issued a warning. And we're speaking of Noor bin Laden. Now, she has recently, I don't know when she did, but she is now spelling her name different from her uncle for reasons because of association with him. But she said this of President Trump. She said, he must be reelected. It's vital for the future of not only America, but Western civilization as a whole. She said, you look at all the terrorist attacks that have happened in Europe over the past 19 years. They have completely shaken us to the core. And then referring to Islam, she says, has completely infiltrated our society. In the U.S., it's very worrying that the left has aligned itself completely with the people who share that ideology. And then she said, President Trump must be reelected. Would you comment on this warning that is coming from the niece of Osama bin Laden?
Wow. I mean, what a warning from the most unlikely source, right? I mean, talk about unlikely sources, but she's absolutely right on. She's absolutely right on. We have forgotten that the Islamic movement, those who are bent on destroying Western civilization, Christian nations, free-loving nations that are built upon individual rights, God-given rights, as we've already talked about, we forget that those individuals have aligned themselves with the left, with Marxists, Black Lives Matter. Let's not forget the words of Nihad Awad, the head of CARE in 2015, when he said at their ICNA conference, Black Lives Matter is our matter. Black Lives Matter is our campaign. So she's exactly right. Because, and not only, Jim, is it the left. Can I take a step back and say it's also many in the Christian community, many in many major denominations that we have been able to spell out over the years, who have aligned themselves with coming out and supporting the Islamic movement and Muslims. And I just got an email today from one of our supporters that was sending me a webinar series called The Islamophobia Industry, Facts Over Fear, where the interfaith movement is calling on quote-unquote Christians to stand with our Muslim neighbors and come against this so-called anti-Muslim rhetoric. Where we are simply trying to educate people on Islam, they call it Islamophobia. And they are using the terms of Islam to shut down free speech and our ability to expose. So it's an absolutely right-on statement. If Biden wins, and these are not any longer Democrats, these are socialists. When you look at Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and those who the Muslim Brotherhood has gotten to office, Keith Ellison in Minnesota, these are not just Democrats. These are socialist Marxists and also are Muslims. And this alignment is deeply troubling. So all I can say is she's right on. I mean, what an unlikely source. Uh-huh. But I couldn't agree with her more. If there's any chance, I believe that President Trump has to be reelected. And we have to have the chance to continue to go against this deep state. And I hope it can happen. And I got to pray. We have to pray for these elections more than ever before.
Wednesday, you referred to Ilhan Omar. And Wednesday, she sent out a tweet. And here's what she said in the tweet. Muslims aren't waiting for bigots' permission to exist. We are running for office and casting our ballots to combat this administration's hatefully anti-Muslim policies and push policies that elevate all who have been left behind. And I read that and I said, she's right about one thing. There are a number of Muslims that are running for office here in the United States. But what rhetoric coming from Ilhan Omar?
What rhetoric coming from Ilhan Omar? which shows their vehement anti-American hatred. I can't tell you how much I'm trying to stress. In fact, I just got connected with a guy that's running for office in Michigan against Rashida Tlaib, and I was advising his campaign. You have to hit them on their anti-American, anti-constitutional rhetoric. They hate this nation and what it represents. And yet, if we say to them, you know, you're free to go back to your birth country, we're called bigots and racists. But, Jim, to the point of what she's saying, we do. We see the most record number, and Nihad Awad of CARE has been touting this since last year, that they are seeing a Muslim blue wave. They saw it in 2018, the most Muslims elected to office from federal, state, local levels. They're running the most candidates ever. They're funding them. And they're open. They're open about their allegiance for the Islamic movement. And here's the interesting thing too: if you look at their platform, on their websites, like when Abdullah Syed, he was running in Michigan for governor, they align with the leftist platform. It's like if you're looking at Bernie Sanders' platform, but yet it's a Muslim. You go, well, wait a second. Muslims don't believe in pro-abortion, abortion rights and gay, homosexual marriage. Why would they be doing that? Ah, because they're in the lower house, and in the lower house of Islam, before they get to the upper house, lying is permissible. They can cloak themselves as liberals. They can cloak themselves as progressives to get into office. Then they will show their true colors, which is what we're seeing with, for example, the anti-Semitism and anti-American hatred of Omar and Tlaib and others.
Shahram Hadian, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Folks, as we open our phone lines today, we want to discuss this ideology of 9/11 that has been forgotten here across this nation some 19 years later. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Is it any wonder now we have Ilhan Omar continuing to call for the abolition of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement? I mean, this is the agency responsible for enforcing our immigration laws. She is wanting open borders, and we see the very troubling things that have happened in many European nations, Shahram.
Absolutely. We see the evidence. We see the evidence of open borders, massive refugee resettlement. In fact, even yesterday, I was listening to the president in his speech in Michigan, and he was talking about this because, of course, Michigan receives many, many refugees. And he said that if Biden was elected, that he wants four times, he wants to increase four times the number of refugees coming into the U.S., numbers that are even higher than Obama had in his last year in office, over 100,000. So it matters. Elections matter, and policies matter. And when these folks are aligning themselves with the left, calling for open borders, calling for, as you said, the abolition of immigration, are, again, rule of law, folks, sovereignty, all these things are part of the globalist agenda. And we have to be for our national sovereignty, for rule of law. No one, I don't think anybody here would say, listen, yeah, there should be proper immigration, proper vetting, but this open doors policy, letting refugees in, letting asylum seekers in, letting illegals in, this is what ultimately has opened the door for this lawlessness in our nation. And these people have proven themselves to be what they are. They've shown their true colors. And yet, unfortunately, they keep getting reelected because of ignorant voters and those who are blinded to the truth. So we who see this must be praying and pray that God would hopefully intervene in our nation one more time and give us more time to turn around, because we're in deep trouble.
And Shahram, I've heard you refer back to this, but you, do you actually see an alliance then between this Islamic movement, Antifa, and Black Lives Matter?
Absolutely. There's an all-out alliance for sure. A couple of pieces of evidence. One, we know that, for example, Keith Ellison, and Ellison's son, by the way, Jim, who is now on the Minneapolis City Council, has openly supported Antifa. Openly. I mean, people can go out there and look. It's there. I don't have the quote in front of me, but he's openly done it. Number two, we see in the last couple of months, we saw black militias forming in Stone Mountain, Georgia, Lexington, Kentucky, even in the South. And these black militias are Marxists who are aligned with Antifa, or and they would even say they're even further than Black Lives Matter as far as their view of America and their Marxist ideology. Well, guess who was marching with them? We see Muslims marching with them, and those who were in there's videos out there where you can hear them shouting Inshallah and pray, meaning praise to Allah and Allah Akbar in these terms. So there is both evidence as far as the alignments and their own words, but there's also evidence within the physical formation of these dangerous revolutionary groups that are calling for the destruction of America as we know it. That alignment is very real, and folks like Ilhan Omar are simply mouthpieces now for this movement, because the left has become so radicalized, so anti-American and lawless that there's not much distinguishing them now. And there isn't. And I don't understand how we're not seeing through this. And I suspect that there's still many deep state agents within the Trump administration that are not allowing the president to do what, by the way, he had said he was going to do. The first step we kept saying was they need to label the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. They can't even label Antifa as a terrorist organization, let alone the Muslim Brotherhood. These things must happen, and they must happen if Trump gets reelected.
Let's get to the phone lines. They're packed. John, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, afternoon. Question, is the Black Lives Matter, flag similar to ISIS?
That's a great question, right? Because they have the black flag. And ISIS had the black flag. So you can draw your own conclusions there. But it is interesting. They're both using the black flag. Of course, the BLM sign, of course, is the clenched fist. But what I would argue is that they are both consistent with the revolutionary concept within Marxism. To cause deconstruction, to cause chaos and mayhem, to get to your goal of ultimate revolution. Beyond that, one could speculate. But as I said earlier, Jim, we know that Antifa and to some extent Black Lives Matter, their leadership, their upper leadership, and this notion that Antifa is some sort of a street organization that they're just loosely connected, I reject that. And law enforcement, I think, is rejecting that as well. They are well funded, well organized. But we know both groups have connections to Islamic terrorism overseas. So, you know, you can draw your own conclusion about the flag, but there's no doubt that there's connections there.
Thank you, John, for the call. George in Olney, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. The word remember, basically that is God's way of saying, remember that it's all created. When you remember the Sabbath day, you are remembering that it is a created.
Okay, George, let's deal with our issue here today of remembering 9/11 and the ideology that brought it down. That's what our topic is today.
Well, we got to go back to basics.
Well, we are going back to basics, and we can go into Scripture where he says, remember Lot's wife, to remember what sin does and perversion does and the attachment to the world. But that's where we're coming from here today, okay? Let's go to Scott in Duluth. You're on the air, Scott.
Yeah, see, I just find it very ironic that Osama bin Laden's relative is giving the United States a warning when I think some of the reason why 9/11, some of this judgment that's come on America is because the church is asleep at the switch.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be nasty or critical, but when I first got saved, they talked about no drinking, no dancing, no movies, and you know, maybe it seems a little rigid.
I tell you, I got your point here, and we're up against a break real tight here, Scott. I apologize for that, but we'll talk about the church being asleep after the break. Thanks.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Last night on our town square here in Collierville, Tennessee, right outside of Memphis, Black Lives Matter showed up to protest a monument. To the Confederate soldiers that died right there on the town square. The big Battle of Collierville, as it was known, during the Civil War. Well, Black Lives Matter, folks that aren't even from Collierville who organized this, want the monument that's been there since the 1940s removed. What is this? This is simply taking propaganda, brainwashing, and wrapping it around real history. The Civil War was not about slavery. It was largely about state rights, and particularly the big driving issue, as is always, money, economics. But today, people from the outside will come in and tell your community what you have to do. Tear down these statues. Next thing it'll be, tear down your churches. They're racist. Don't fall for the critical race theory that says everything associated with Christianity, the Constitution, and the free market system is racism.
Sorry for apologize here to Scott. We had to go real short there as we were coming up against the break. But we're going to deal with that main point that he called about, Sharam. Talked about the problem of the church being asleep. Do you believe that the church is asleep on this issue, especially when it comes to the ideology that drove 9/11 to happen?
I would say that not only, I would say, yes, the church is asleep. I'd say some churches are asleep, and I would say some churches are absolutely compromised and corrupted by the ideology themselves. As I said, one of the things, Jim, you know, I've covered for many, many years now, and you guys have covered in BCY, is this whole interfaith push that's come out of 9/11. Instead of us separating the ideology and being able to accurately teach in the church about what Islam is spiritually, politically, no, we've gone the other way. We've silenced dissent. We've shut down people like myself and others. And we've said, no, you know, Muslims, Christians, Jews, we all worship the same God. Let's all get along. Let's all find how to live in harmony and peace and whatever. So we've actually been lied to and deceived. So one, you have a deceived church, and two, you have an asleep church that is not understanding and discerning what is coming. And I think, by the way, COVID has exposed those churches. You know, if anything that COVID has exposed in America has been the condition of these churches versus the true church. So, Lord help us. You know, judgment begins in the house of God. Correction begins in the house of God. We need it. We need first and foremost to be able to be educated on what ideologies are against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's no stronger ideology on the planet today that is against the gospel of Jesus Christ in Islam. There is none. And yet we can't even talk about those things because it's unloving, apparently.
Let's go to William in East Troy. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Sharam, for being on today. I recently saw a homosexual flag with a black fist. But in Jesus, you had mentioned, said to love our enemies, I heard one time a while ago, but nowhere in the 99 names that describe Allah is he mentioned as love. But I wanted to ask you, recently Ilhan Omar accused Joe Biden of Islamophobia because he said something about the way Muslims act. How long will the Muslims tolerate the homosexuals and the liberals in the Democratic Party before they start to push them out?
Thank you, William.
That's a great question, William, and there's my point, right, is that this allegiance between the left and Islam, like we saw in Western Europe, is short-lived. By the way, did you not see Joe Biden did a flip? Joe Biden ended up doing a webinar with Jim, I'm forgetting her name. The one who's the radical organizer of the Women's March,
Linda Sarsour. Linda Sarsour.
Yeah, Linda Sarsour. Right. Remember, Joe Biden ended up after those comments, and he was called out by Ilhan Omar. He schedules a webinar with Linda Sarsour and saying how schools need to be teaching on the Quran and on Muhammad and on Islam. So he did a flip around as soon as he was questioned. So to your point, what we've seen in Western Europe is it will not last long, because as soon as the Muslims get power based, they will turn on those who help them get there, including the liberals, including the homosexuals, including the women. And that's the message we keep trying to tell them. They're deceived because they don't understand that it's a short-lived kumbaya relationship that won't last.
Thank you for the call here, William. We're going next to Andrew in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I wanted to make a comment about the church being asleep. You know, I believe it all started back when the onset of the seeker-friendly church cranked up and the contemporary thing. I think that was the beginning of it. And I was going to ask, you know, I've thought this many times on this type of subject, with all these socialists and all these groups in this lawlessness going on that wants to, you know, tear down what we know as America, why hasn't somebody revived the House Un-American Acts Committee?
Sorry, revive the what?
HUAC, House Un-American Acts Committee.
Sharam, any information on that?
Yeah, well, I think I think if I understand him right, he's talking about that committee that was probably used back with the communism, wasn't it? That they were looking at those who were seditious to the United States and to our foundation, because I've for long argued that the reason you don't protect Islamic ideology in the First Amendment because it's not a religion, it's a political ideology that is by its own words must overthrow any free society or any government that is based upon the rights, individual rights. So I think what he's saying is that, you know, couldn't we revive that act and what's in law already and come against those that are doing these seditious things to our nation? I would say, yes, we should, but is the will there anymore? In our cancel culture and in our quote-unquote woke Christian culture, is the will there anymore as it was in the 50s and 60s when we're looking at communism and how it was antithetical and how we must go after the ideology that is calling for the overthrow of our government? I think that's his point. Mm-hmm. And I would say yes, but I don't know if the will is there today.
Thank you, Andrew. We're going to squeeze in one last caller. Julie in Pensacola, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to add a comment to what the guy was talking about. It starts out with the church. I don't want to say blame it all on the church. You know, it's our home, too. You know, us as parents can be talking to our children, and grandparents can be talking to our grandchildren. Mm-hmm. In the school systems are really making this country back into, you know, Islam or going it towards the Islam way of thinking. And we have a president that would try to, you know, get God back into school, but really, it can't be just freedom of religion. It has to be freedom to worship the one and only true God. Mm.
Thank you for that. Sharam, 30 seconds, your response.
Well, I would agree that it is back to the responsibility of parents. You know, the church is made up of families, and so if we don't take our responsibility and stewardship before God, then that affects everything else. And I think one of the things that COVID has done, maybe as a positive, is more parents are looking at homeschooling and Christian schools and other options, because both the Islamic ideology and now Black Lives Matter ideology are going to be taught in our schools as indoctrination. And so I think it's time for that purging of our schools and for Christians to take back the training and education of their kids. I think it's way overdue.
Julie, thank you for the call. We're out of time. Sharam Hadian is our guest today with that admonition to remember 9/11 and to never forget. His website, tillproject.com, that stands for Truth and Love, tillproject.com. Sharam, thank you so much for being with us here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. Always a blessing.
And friends, thanks for listening here today as we never forget.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.